You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Allah talks about two parables for believers. One was the lamp, and then there was the homes. And then we moved on to two parables for the disbelievers. And yesterday we covered the one where he's out in the desert and he's dying of thirst and he's parched and he sees a mirage. And we took some pieces of that parable that Allah described and we tried to isolate them bit by bit. Now we're going on the opposite extreme end. One parable was about them being burnt out in the light and being blinded by extreme light. And this one is going to be them going in the depths of darkness. Sometimes the Quran is very brief in the way that it speaks because there's a principle in Arabic and in many other languages, and it's certainly applied in the Quran. Al-labibu min al-isharati yafhamu. The intelligent person can fill in the blanks, basically. They can take a hint. Urdu speakers know aqal man ke liye ishara kafi hai, right? So when Allah says there's somebody in the middle of the desert, it doesn't mean they set out deciding to go towards death. Probably went on a trade caravan, got robbed on the way, or a storm came, got separated from their tribe. You know, something happened. But they started out on a natural course and something messed up happened. Now, here we are, Allah is going to describe somebody in the middle of the ocean. Well, nobody decided to take a helicopter ride and jump off in the middle of the ocean. They probably went off by sea, went on some trade route on their ship, وَجَرَيْنَا بِهِمْ. Allah describes in another surah that the good winds took them along, وَفَرِحُوا بِهَا, and they were very happy with the winds that were taking them out to sea, you know, and everything, they thought everything's going to be okay. جَاءَتْهَا رِيحٌ عَاصِفٌ. Then a tough wind comes, a ruthless wind comes. وَجَاءَهُمُ الْمَوْجُ مِنْ كُلِّ مَكَانٍ. And then the winds start hitting them from every direction. The boat starts rocking. And it's basically, that was an image already described in the surah. That was a different parable. And in that parable, by the end of it, the storm calms down. And then they're okay. They're holding on to the planks of the ship saying, you know, if you just rescue us from this, then لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الشَّاكِرِينَ. We're going to be grateful. We promise. We promise we're going to... And then after Allah settles the ship down, then they go back to being the way that they used to be. They go back to being ungrateful. In this parable, it's almost as if there's a scenario B from that original parable. In other words, there was a ship, it was being rocked, and instead of the storm calming down, the ship basically got turned over. And this person on board is now out in the middle of the sea, in the middle of the storm. And it doesn't seem like, just to set you the stage, it doesn't seem like this is nighttime. It seems to me, wallahu a'lam, that this is actually happening in the daytime. Okay, so the cloud, Allah is going, and I'll show you the indications in the text that this is happening in the day, but the day is getting darker and darker and darker. So there's an aspect of diminishing light that's happening in this ayah. So let's look at the ayah, the wording directly. أَوْ كَظُلُمَاتٍ فِي بَحْرٍ لُجِّي. Or, like multiple layers of darkness, that's how I'm translating ظُلُمَات. Or like multiple layers of darkness in an ocean that is, now the Arabic word is, in an ocean described with the word lujji. I'm going to say an endless ocean, a relentless ocean. You know, that's how I would describe the word lujji. It deserves a little bit of attention. Lujjatul bahr, aw lajjatul bahr, haythu la yudraku qa'ruhu, when an ocean is such depth that no one really knows how deep it goes. That's actually lujja or ledja in Arabic. The depth is feels infinite. An ocean that feels like its depth is going on forever. But lajjul bahr or lujjul bahr bidham, al-ma'ul kathir la yura tarafahu, the extent of water where you cannot see the end of it, meaning you can't see any land on either side. Every direction you look at is just endless, endless, endless water, right? So two descriptions of luj or lujja or ledja, that the verb is either it's endless depth or endless width. So you are in the middle of something that has, it seems like it's infinite on both sides. If you saw some land, at least you could say, you know what, if I flap my arms enough, I'll reach some kind of, I see some rock over there, I see an island, I see something. Like in the last parable, the guy saw, at least he saw something. He saw, it was a false image, but he saw a mirage. And he's going to start flapping his way, dragging his way in the sand towards it, stumble towards it, and find out that it's nothing. But in this parable, this person finds themselves in the middle of an ocean, the depth of it is unknown, endless, and the expanse of it is endless. This is Bahrin Lujji. Also interesting that the ya and nisba, this ya, that lujji, the ya has a shadda on it, in the word bahrin lujji, is not a typical kind of adjective that is used in the Qur'an. It's not actually typical for the Qur'an to use this style of adjective. But this is the style of adjective that got used twice in this parable. Once you saw kawkabun durri, and now you see bahrun lujji. So you see kind of both of them together. Are you looking for somebody, young man? He's looking for his glasses. Let's see if we can help him. That's okay. Let's see if we can help him. Guys, if his glasses are behind the stage, maybe you can try to find him. Okay. It's all good. We'll wait for him. No, not at all. Don't be sorry at all. Not there? I'm sorry, beta. It's okay. Okay. All right, where was I? Somewhere in the ocean. Okay. So the ocean is endless on both sides, meaning in terms of its depth and its sort of its expanse. So we're going to notice a difference between the last parable and this one. In the last parable, you saw a person who was struggling, even though they were dying, they were struggling and making every effort they can in a desperate, impossible attempt to survive. So even though they're dying, they're going to do whatever they can to try and survive and reach the water, right? So even though it's a false hope, they still have hope, isn't it? But this is going to be a parable where a person is in the ocean and they don't even see false hope. They just see an endless, like, deathscape of hopelessness, both on the sides and going down on the inside. So basically, there's kind of a hopeless on top of hopeless situation, just in the way that the ocean is being described. If there was no further description, this would already be hopeless. يَغْشَاهُ But then, that's not enough. Allah then adds, يَغْشَاهُ مَوْجٌ مِّن فَوْقِهِ مَوْجٌ مِّن فَوْقِهِ سَحَابٌ. This complex grammar here. Actually, you could argue that this is all one large mawsuf and sifa, which would then mean that what's covering it is a wave on top of which there's another wave on top of which there's a cloud. Wave and wave and cloud. Now, if you've ever seen like a, well, you know those crazy surfers, those surfers that enjoy being close to death and they go to these 100-foot waves and they're just kind of riding right underneath the wave. You know what I'm talking about, right? Now, imagine somebody drowning and they see this tower of wave coming on top of them, right? The fear of it. Like they already, the boat already got flipped over. They're already kind of hanging in a plank and they don't see any land anywhere. They're drowning. And then on top of that, there's a giant wave that comes. Now, I don't know if you've, some of you might have ocean experience. I have very little ocean experience. And one of my ocean experiences was extremely humbling. I was in Trinidad many years ago. And they said, oh, this is a wonderful beach, sheikh, just go in. I was like, I'm not a sheikh, but I'll go inside, I'll have fun. So I go in about, you know, 20, 30 feet in by the water. So the water was about neck deep, so it's okay. I'm not a good swimmer, so it's okay. Neck deep is still okay. I can still feel my feet on the ground. And this big wave comes out of nowhere. It was a nice day, nice sunny day, out of nowhere. This wave comes on top of me, slaps me on the head, and it flips me I don't know how many times, and I slam my head on the ground like a nail going into the, like the hammer going into the nail, like really hard, right? And then I flip back up to the ground, and I'm like, what just happened? Because the water has such an overpowering force, it's so dominant over a human being and over all creatures, that you really just, you're completely, utterly helpless. And by the way, when it was flipping me, I remember that I couldn't move my limbs. Like I couldn't, like, you know, you wanna, when you're bracing for impact, you wanna gather your limbs together. But the water has such force that you're basically like stretched open like a fan, and there's nothing you can do about it. Your limbs aren't even in your control anymore. That's how powerful the waves can be, right? So now when Allah is describing this person, imagine they're still on the surface. That's why they can see there's no land. And they kind of try to feel down there, but they can't feel the depth. They don't even know how bad it is. And then a wave comes and it just slaps them underwater. And now this guy that was above the water, he just got, and he saw clouds above him, right? Clouds above. Now what is the significance of clouds? This is also important. Clouds above you keep you from seeing the sun directly, right? And you saw in the previous parable, there was too much sun. And you saw before that, that the sun, Allahu Nur Samawati Wal Ard, the tree is being fueled by constant exposure to the sun. And there's, it's neither eastern nor western. And by the way, when you're navigating in the day, then you need the sun. And when you're navigating at night, what do you need? The stars. But if the sky is covered in clouds, you don't know your way in the day, and you don't know your way at night. You're completely, utterly lost. So not only are you in the middle of an endless death, there's no way you can even get a sense of direction because it's covered by clouds. And then comes a wave on top and slaps you under. And as you're going under, the lower a person is going in the water, imagine they're still looking up, right? And the clouds are already gray, so it's not clear blue, it's gray. But the lower they're going, it's getting darker. It's getting slowly and slowly, it's getting darker. And their limbs aren't even under their control. But as they're going darker, they notice another tower is rising, even above them. And what's that? That's yet another wave. And then it comes crashing down. And by the way, mentioning waves twice, this is actually a rhetorical device in the Arabic language. It's used to describe things that keep on happening over and over and over again. ثُمَّ ارْجِعِ الْبَصَرَ كَرَّتَيْنِ. Then return your eyes, return your gaze twice over. What does that mean? Over and over again. كَلَّا إِذَا دُكَّتِ الْأَرْضُ دَكَّنْ دَكَّ. Why is it mentioning twice? Over and over and over and over and over again. This style of Arabic exists, where when you mention something as twice, it actually means relentlessly, over and over. Like, that was a really bad wave. I think it's over now. No, here's another one. And there's another one. And there's another one. So, مَوْجٌ مِّن فَوْقِهِ مَوْجٌ مِّن فَوْقِهِ Min fawqihi sahab, rather. And on top of all of that, there's clouds. Now, what's the significance of clouds other than just blocking my ability to see the sky? The clouds, when you're a sailor and you see clouds, that means a storm is coming. And when you see even if you're a sailor and you see clouds in the distance, you know that the ship is going to be in trouble. You gotta get away from the clouds as much as possible, right? The experienced sailor can tell the storm well before the storm is there, already starts bracing for impact. So the fact that there are clouds above actually suggests that it's pretty bad in the ocean, but it's not about to get any easier because what's above? Clouds. So min fawqihi mawj, min fawqihi mawj, min fawqihi sahab. This is the state that Allah describes the disbelievers like darkness in. Now let's look at yet another contrast. In the previous parable, we saw that the disbeliever was desperately motivated to move. It was almost as if Allah was giving us a picture of what's going on inside the disbeliever with the word dham'an, extremely thirsty. You remember that word? So that's the state of what's inside the body of the disbeliever, inside of him. But in this parable, Allah is not describing what's happening inside the disbeliever. Allah is describing what's happening outside the disbeliever. So this parable is actually about the environment of the disbeliever. Not the inside state, but actually the environment. And there are two levels of darkness. There's a darkness inside a person, and there's a darkness outside a person. You have, for example, in Surah Al-Falaq, or in Surah Al-Nas, you have an interesting contrast. You have kind of, you know, you have the evil of the outside. وَمِن شَرِّ غَاسِقٍ إِذَا وَقَبْ. Right? You've got this outside evil. And then you also have the evil of the inside. مِن شَرِّ الْوَسْوَاسِ الْخَنَّاسِ. On the inside, right? So you have these, and you know, human beings are a product of that. There's something inside of us that pulls us towards good and evil. فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. We have something inside of us that drives us to be good, and something inside of us that can also drive us to do bad things. And then we have outside good influences and outside bad influences. We're a product of both things. We're not just individual, and we're not entirely social. We're a mixture of both things, right? And so you found in this parable, in the previous parable, someone who's in an environment full of light, but there's something wrong on the inside. Their extreme thirst or desperation doesn't let them see reality for what it is. Now we're looking at the evil environment of the disbeliever. We're looking at that, and Allah is describing it with this very graphic image to almost let us know that someone who doesn't have iman, the actions they take, the decisions they make because of their kufr, every act of kufr is a kind of darkness. Every act of disobedience to Allah, every sin is a kind of darkness. And one darkness, after a while, is just not enough. You're like, I'm used to that. I got away with that one. Let me try something that's got a little bit more of a kick. Let me try something slightly darker. Let me try something a little more intense, because that one got boring. So if somebody was drinking alcohol for a while, they're like, it doesn't do anything for me anymore. Yeah, let me mix in a little couple of things in there. Let me get some of my friends in the pharmaceutical industry to help me out a little bit. Yeah? So mix in some other stuff, do some other things. And then when your behaviors, you see, for example, studies of kids that belong in wealthy families in suburban neighborhoods, beautiful homes, beautiful cars, and they're doing they're like stealing candy from a grocery store. And they're like vandalizing, like, you know, hospitals or whatever. Why? Cheap thrills. They need something. They need some kind of adrenaline rush. The small little sins you do, that, you know, little transgression here and there, just doesn't cut it. I need to push the boundaries more. You see, on the one hand, you have a believer who's doing more dhikr of Allah, more commitment to iqam as-salah, more ita' az-zakah, and then لِيَجْزِيَهُمُ اللَّهُ أَحْسَنَ مَا عَمِلُوا, also in Ishara 2, they try to do the best that they can. So they're actually trying to, every time they do good, they're motivated to do more good, and then more good, and then more good. And this is the fitrah that Allah created us in, right? Those of you that are into exercising or working out, if you lift the same exact weight every single time, you're not going to get anything out of it. You're going to have to push yourself a little further than you did the last time, and you have to keep pushing further and further and further. The same thing with sports and your stamina and your cardio and whatever else. You have to keep pushing further and further and further. That's the only way to progress. Well, you can progress towards good that way, but nature is nature. You also progress towards bad that way. That's when you appreciate the word ظلمات, layers of darkness. You start on the surface, you go lower, then you go lower, then you go lower, then you go lower. And you start putting yourself in darker and darker environments. You surround yourself with people that are surrounded, that they've decided to surround themselves in more and more darkness. You spiral and spiral and spiral and spiral. And by the way, the less light you have, because the deeper you're going, the less light you have, the less ability to see the reality of what's around you. In other words, the darker they're getting, the more they're starting to say, what's wrong with it? I don't see a problem. I don't see what's wrong with that. Why can't you just let me be? I'm just living my life. Why? Because now their ability to see wrong for wrong is being weakened. And they're being desensitized because there's less and less light, so their eyes have less and less to work with. Right? Allah is describing a very powerful thing.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own. surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Lowe's knows how to set off your July 4th with savings. Right now, buy one, get one free on select one coat coverage interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Plus, get two select 2 or 2.5 quart red, white, and blue annuals for just $10. Hurry, these July 4th deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, excludes Alaska and Hawaii. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for more details.
Is describing the power of evil environments and how they have this magnetic force like an ocean sucking you in. And the force of culture, the force of bad influences, the force of, you know, peer pressure. These forces are so powerful, they're like a wave that slaps you, then another wave that slaps you, and you're just in a storm, and you don't know how to get out of it. Like, you know, a lot of times people say, Ustaz, it's so hard to be Muslim in America, you know, there's so much fitna. Right? You get slapped with fitna all the time. Yes. You keep going. Why are you falling deeper and deeper and deeper inside? Because at the end of it all, the parable began with الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا, those who are ungrateful to Allah, those who deny Allah. They have nothing to hold on to. On the flip side, when Allah describes the believer in other places, these parables, by the way, they're all connected to each other. There's a bunch of parables in the Quran about the farm. And if you collect all of them, they're all pieces of a puzzle. There's a bunch of parables in the Quran about the ocean. If you collect all of them, they're pieces of a puzzle. For example, فَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِالطَّاغُوتِ وَيُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ اسْتَمْسَكَ بِالْعُرْوَةِ الْوُثْقَى لَنْفِصَامَ لَهَا. Whoever you know believes in Allah or disbelieves in rebellion and believes in Allah has held on to an anchor. An anchor is the chain that falls from a ship. Has held on to an anchor that will never break. Now imagine somebody who fell off the ship. They're also in the ocean. So clearly, they didn't fall off the anchor if the storm was easy. It was a tough storm like this one. But when they fell off, what are they holding on to? An anchor. So they're not going to go lower and lower and lower in depths. You understand? And that's that same parable in Surah Al-Baqarah goes on to say, Allahu waliyu alladhina amanu yukhrijuhum min al-dhulumati ila an-nur. Allah is the protective friend of those who believe. He pulls them out of darknesses back into the light, like the chain pulls you back up. But this person doesn't have someone to hold on to. Something I should have said yesterday. At the end of this yesterday, I felt something was missing, and I couldn't remember what it was until this earlier today when my hunger headache got to the extreme. Then I remembered. And that was that the disbeliever, all they have is themselves. You know when someone, you ever heard, because we're in America, we hear this all the time, you got to look out for number one. You heard that before, right? In the end, ain't nobody going to help you. The government's not going to help you. Your president's not going to help you. Your family's not going to help you. Who's going to take care of you? You got to take care of yourself. You got to take. So what for a disbeliever, their actions, their investments, their self-care, whatever they do, that's all they have for themselves. وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَعْمَالُهُمْ. Immediately, those who disbelieve, all they have is their deeds. And their deeds are just a mirage. But when you look at, on the flip side, what Allah described as the believer, when Allah described the believer, we didn't just have our deeds. On top of our deeds, we had the fadl of Allah. وَيَزِيدَهُمْ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ. And on top of that, we have the rizq from Allah that He gives without any hisab. For a disbeliever, they're going to hope for a hisab based on their deeds. I made this investment, I'm hoping for this much return. For us, we don't just have hopes in our deeds. We actually much more than our deeds. The deeds are just our starting point. Our deeds are nothing without the rahmah of Allah, without our reliance on Allah. But for a disbeliever, that's all they have is their deed. And you know why? As a result, we have a level of comfort. We're secure. And the disbeliever isn't. They're not secure. They're like somebody just falling into the ocean and just going deeper and deeper and deeper. And if the waves are that aggressive, then I would argue that you're struggling to move your limbs because the waves are pushing against your body, almost ripping your body. So, ظُلُمَاتٌ بَعْضُهَا فَوْقَ بَعْضٍ. Darknesses layered one on top of the other, on top of the other, on top of the other. Deep depths of darkness. إِذَا أَخْرَجَ يَدَهُ لَمْ يَكَدْ يَرَاهَا. Then Allah says, and if this person was to try to take out their hand, And it's interesting language, take out their hand. Like, if you're falling in the ocean, what does it mean to take out your hand? I would argue, because you know this was used for like Musa alayhi salam when he took his hand out of his pocket, right? أَخْرَجَ يَدَهُ فَإِذَا هِيَ بَيْضَاءُ لِلنَّاظِرِينَ Right? So it's actually the act of pulling something out. I would argue that this is because of their lack of control of their limbs, that they're just flapping in every which direction. Maybe hoping to feel something. Maybe I can hold on to a piece of wood because the wood will eventually float back up. Maybe I can hold on to somebody who knows how to swim. I can't see them. Maybe I'll grab a leg somewhere and I'll just hold on to them and they'll pull me back up. And they're just falling and falling and they got nothing to hold on to. Again, compare that to the believer who even when they're in a storm, they're holding on to a chain, right? That doesn't break. So they're falling and falling. And then Allah says the strangest thing. He says, even when he puts his hand out in front of him, it's almost as if he almost can't see his own hand. Almost can't see his own hand. Now you know, as we go deeper into water, light refracts further and further and further until you get to the point where there's zero light. There's no light left. It's already broken up enough that there's no way you can see anything. And at a certain depth in the ocean, you see creatures that Allah has made that generate their own light. Right? They're luminescent creatures. Human beings aren't like that. But Allah said something very strange. We were expecting Allah to say that when He takes out His hand, He can't even see His own hand. And the hand is a representation of our actions, right? Like He does evil and He can't even see that He's doing something evil. Like that. But Allah says He takes out His hand and He almost can't see it. He almost can't see it. These parables are placed next to each other so we can compound the image and understand it properly. I'm going to take you back to the first image. It was that of a lamp. And the lamp has a beautiful light inside, a pure light inside. But that light can only spread in the house because the glass is pure and clean. أَزُّجَاجَتُكَ أَنَّهَا كَوْكَبٌ دُرِّي Remember that? Well, now imagine the glass got dirty. Every time someone does a sin, the glass gets dirty. They go into more darkness, the glass gets darker. And the more sin happens, the more darkness spreads around them. So even if there's a light inside, that light is being buried. It exists, but it's being buried and buried and buried and buried. Every layer of darkness is making the glass more and more dirty. Now imagine the glass is almost completely dirty. Even if a light is on, you won't know. It's that dirty. You'd have to break the glass to look inside. Oh my God, there's a light inside. There's a light on. But you can't see it because it's so filthy. The glass has become so filthy. But imagine it's so dirty, but there's still one little crack somewhere, one little speck where the dirt hasn't touched. One tiny little bit. And from that little light that comes out, you can barely see something. It's as if Allah is describing a person who went down a dark path. And they kept getting darker and darker and darker. They kept falling into sin, and then more sin, and then more sin. And by the way, not being able to see also means desensitization, right? When the first time somebody commits a sin, they feel really bad. The next time they feel less bad. The next time they're like, well, that didn't feel so bad. Let me try something worse. And they keep getting desensitized to worse and worse and worse sins. And to the point where زَيِّنَ لَهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ أَعْمَالَهُمْ The devil starts making evil deeds look like good deeds to them. That's how bad the state can get. But even at that lowest moment, Allah describes that maybe there's somebody who still has some little bit of light left inside them, that when they move their hand around in this darkness, they almost couldn't see it, but they kind of could. They could kind of tell this is wrong. Something in them still spoke and said, I shouldn't be doing this. This is death. This is my own destruction. I'm in the depths of an ocean. Oof. It's as if Allah is saying, until we die, as bad as we get, there's still hope. This is when you understand why Allah would tell Musa alayhi salam to go speak to Fir'aun softly. Fir'aun, after having killed thousands of babies, after enslaving people, after calling himself God, how many darknesses do you want on that lamp? And then Allah says, لَعَلَّهُ يَذَّكَّرُ Maybe he'll take benefit from the reminder. Maybe. Because something might still be there. Maybe he'll see his hand. إِذَا أَخْرَجَ يَدَهُ لَمْ يَكَ. He almost couldn't see it. Before I conclude this parable, I want to take you back and kind of give an overview now of all of these parables and some things that we really have to take in. I think the most important of them is, if you notice the parable of the believer, that was inside a home. And it was at nighttime. The first parable was at nighttime. The second parable was nighttime followed by even daytime. So you found, for example, بِالْغُدُوِّ وَالْأَصَالِ. Or you saw إِقَامِ الصَّلَاةِ. إِقَامِ الصَّلَاةِ is five prayers. Five prayers, some of them are also in the daytime. But the first parable was just at nighttime because there's a lamp lit up and the lamp is only lit up at nighttime. And Allah also described that these are people that don't get distracted by business, by trade, you remember? So let's paint a picture for ourselves. Somebody went out to work. They worked all day. They did their business. They did their sale, whatever they did. And then eventually they came back home and they turn on the lamp. They turn on the lamp. So they're home. They're where they're supposed to be. And even though they had done all this business or whatever, it didn't make them forget the remembrance of Allah even when they got home. And they didn't let the outside dirt become, let their lamp get dirty. They kept that clean. That's the image, right? But they're home. They're home. And it's a cozy environment with a lamp and a niche and everything is set up the way it should be. If you look at the disbelievers parable, where do we find them? We find one of them in the middle of the desert, dying, and the other one in the middle of the ocean. So one of them is home. The believer is home where they're supposed to be, where they're supposed to return. And the other ones are far from home. They're not where they're supposed to be. They're away from their natural resting place. You know how we say, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. We belong to Allah, we return back to Allah. Now imagine, even just like the believer went out to do work and business and came back home, well, the disbeliever also went out into the desert, not to live in the desert, to cross the desert, to finish the business deal. Something happened on the way. And the guy who got on the ship didn't go there to live on the ocean. He went there to go, and then something went wrong along the way. It's as if Allah is saying, all of you may have had the same starting point, but because you didn't have something to bring you back, Allah, to bring you back, some of you just went out there and just stayed out there. You lived a life of either dham'an, extreme thirst, extreme greed, extreme obsession, extreme fanaticism, that's one scenario, or extreme hopelessness, let the environment do what it will, I'm just going to let the ocean take me, what can I do anyway, I don't see any land in sight, I don't know if this ocean has any bottom to it, so I'm just going to let the waves just take me. It's not my fault, it's the environment's fault, it's the storm's fault. What can I do? Society's too powerful. I can't go back home. It's so incredible that Allah described one of them in the security of their home and the other one just out in wilderness, out near death. It's particularly important also because the disbelievers, even up until the arrival of Surah An-Nur, the disbelievers and the munafiqun were still relatively in a position of power. And the Muslims were still struggling. So if you looked at it politically, we were the ones that were out at sea or out in the desert. And they were the ones that were holding all the cards. But Allah is flipping that in a spiritual sense and saying, actually, the only ones secure are the believers. This is directly tied also to another set of imagery in the Quran describing goodness itself. The word for goodness in Arabic, people of goodness, are al-abrar. Al-abrar. And it comes from the word bir, which means goodness, which is directly related to the word bar, which means land. Bar is the antonym of bahr. Bahr is ocean, bar is land. And bir is associated with bar because someone who lives a life of goodness is like they're standing on stable land. And someone who lives a life of sin is like they're being pulled in this wave or that wave or the other wave, like they're in the middle of the ocean. Also notice that the person who is home has an exact place to be, a calm place to be. They're not moving around. But the one in the middle of the ocean is getting slapped by one wave, they go this way. They get slapped by another wave, they go that way. They're dependent on the wave. They're dependent on which wave is powerful enough. So what happens to the kuffar, or people who are influenced by kuffar, who breathe in the kuffar too deeply? Every time there's a new trend, every time there's a new wave, they fall into that wave. They fall, and in fact, some, because we are living as a minority, right? Islam, many places in the world, Muslims are in a minority, and even where Muslims are a majority, the culture has become so secularized that we feel that even in Muslim majority countries, we're actually, Islam is a minority. Or people who care about Islam are a minority. So what happens then is the Muslims who are holding on to their Islam are being pressured to let go of more and more of their Islam because the wave is too strong. There's a wave coming, and then it slaps you, and then it says, look, I'm a good Muslim, but can I have a Christmas tree? Look, I'm a good Muslim, but I mean, is all alcohol really haram? Is it really that haram? Is it haram with a capital H or a lowercase h? Can you tell me which one? Like, what font size is the haram? Because if it's below 12, then it's manageable. Is it all caps or is it italicized? Like, right? What happens? These waves come from the outside, and then we get thrown off by the waves. Well, that's not a description of the believer. The believer is calm and settled and relaxed in the soothing light in the middle of their home with the lamp lit. That's where they are. They're in a state of peace. And the disbeliever is actually in a state of anxiety. That's the contrast between the two. Notice, Allah said about the believer, وَاللَّهُ يَرْزُقُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. Allah provides whoever He wants without limit. That's what's in the parable. And at the end of the kafir's parable, Allah said, فَوَفَّاهُ حِسَابَهُ وَاللَّهُ سَرِيعُ الْحِسَابِ. And he finds his hisab, and Allah is quick. He finds, you know, Allah will give him his full hisab, or his full account, and Allah is quick in taking account. Like Allah literally mentioned the two opposites. The believer is getting infinite based on with no hisab, بِغَيْرِ hisab. And the disbeliever is getting the exact hisab they deserve. فَوَفَّاهُ حِسَابَهُ وَاللَّهُ سَرِيعُ الْحِسَابِ. Ya Rab, Ya Rab. Now, to conclude all of this, we're going to look at the last phrase of this ayah. Allah says, وَمَنْ لَمْ يَجْعَلِ اللَّهُ لَهُ نُورًا فَمَا لَهُ مِنْ نُورٍ. And whoever Allah didn't furnish light for can have no light whatsoever. Whoever Allah did not provide light for can have no light whatsoever. جَعَلَ, to make, but جَعَلَ with a lam, فَمَنْ لَمْ يَجْعَلِ اللَّهُ لَهُ. The lam, lahu nuran, it's closer to the meaning of providing or furnishing. So that means if Allah didn't furnish, whoever Allah didn't furnish light for, can have no light whatsoever. That's what the ayah is saying. And min nur is actually, like, this is taqleel, like they can't even have a little bit of light. The key thing to understand here is in the previous parable, just before there was darkness, 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 and darkness. ظُلُمَاتٌ بَعْضُهَا فَوْقَ بَعْضٍ. Darknesses that keep compiling on top of each other. Yet, they were able to see their hand just a little bit. Yes or no? لَمْ يَكَدْ يَرَهَا. They were able to see their hand just a little bit. So, he didn't have a lot of light, but he had some little bit of light. Yes? And Allah says, after saying, after indicating that there may be some little bit of light, then he says, and by the way, whoever Allah does not provide light to will have no light whatsoever.
Hey, I'm Dr. Z, and I'm a neurosurgeon. So that means long hours, early rounds, late nights, and everything in between. And through it all, I wear Figs. Because they're built for what I do. Through the chaos, through the hours, and through whatever the day throws at me, they do their job so I can do mine. They're comfortable when it counts, and functional when I need them the most. So where do you wear your Figs? On shift, on call, on the couch in the break room, listening to this podcast, wherever it is, they fit right in. And now listeners of this podcast can get 15% off their first order. Just head to wearfigs.com and use code FIGSRX at checkout. That's wearfigs.com, code FIGSRX.